Police departments, big and small, are forced to consider what they do and how they do it in today's America. A lot of police activity is routine and unremarked, but it only takes a single case of someone dying at the hands of police for the scrutiny to skyrocket again. The concept of 21st century policing has been around for a few years, like the 21st century itself. The Eureka Police Department embraced it a few years ago, and Police Chief Steve Watson put out an update on the progress in a report issued a few weeks ago. The delivery came just as a story was breaking about concerning text messages apparently traded by members of the department. The chief joins us to bring us up to date. Chief Watson, thanks for coming in.
You're very welcome, Jeff. Glad to be here.
Let's talk about the genesis of 21st century policing, because it starts outside Eureka, doesn't it?
Yes. It was in December of 2014 that former President Barack Obama issued an executive order where he appointed an 11-member task force on 21st century policing. And that was specifically in response to what they called a number of serious incidences between law enforcement and community members, kind of much of like what we saw this past summer that sparked a number of protests. And so the idea behind that task force is they wanted to create, or it was created to strengthen community policing and trust among the police and the communities that they serve, especially in light of those recent events that really underscored the need for and importance of these kind of lasting collaborative relationships between the local police and the public. So task force was comprised of a diverse group of stakeholders. I had leaders and experts from law enforcement, academia, civil rights organizations, police unions, the community, things like that. And so they identified some best practices and offered recommendations on how to promote effective crime reduction while building that public trust and fostering officer wellness, safety training, education, things like that. And they ended up organizing these recommendations into six broad pillars that were covered in that report. And so our own report that we just completed this year kind of speaks to the things that we have been doing that align with 21st century policing, both current and aspirational goals. And those pillars, for the listeners that may be curious, are building trust and legitimacy, policy and oversight, technology and social media, community policing and crime reduction, training and education, and the sixth pillar is officer wellness and safety.
All right, I have them in front of me too, so I appreciate you outlining it for us. Is 21st century policing community policing essentially with technological components added on?
Yes, because community policing is at the core of those recommendations and pillars, but it's also much more. And you just look at the first pillar, building trust and legitimacy, and how absolutely important and vital that is to our effectiveness in our communities and our relationship with our community, because we truly believe that policing at its core is about relationships and these kind of positive connections that we create with all members of our community are really foundational to that trust.
Chief, was the decision to bring the principles of 21st century policing to Eureka yours, or the city council's, or elsewhere in the administration?
It was mine, but I actually had a former council member last summer ask me about this topic, and I had actually had some interest in creating a report and looking at the things that we've been doing and that we plan to do, the aspirational goals, to see how we align and to make sure that we are fully in alignment with 21st century policing. And so that helped prompt this. Ironically, I started a Master of Science program in law enforcement and public safety leadership a few months ago. And one of the classes that I took that was on community engagement, essentially, a class project had to do with creating a report. And so I kind of took that concept that started as part of a class and greatly expanded it into an actual real world report for our community.
Now, you remarked, and by the way, we're talking to Steve Watson, the chief of Eureka Police here on the Jefferson Exchange. You remarked as you released the report in May that you hesitated to bring it out then because the Eureka Police Department had showed up in the news and not in a good way. Tell us about the juxtaposition of this report and the texting case.
You know, that is a great question. I really struggled with it because I had started the report before the SACB story broke regarding the texting incident. And so I was concerned that the timing of releasing this report showing the great progress that we've made over the last few years and the values and culture change that we've been emphasizing and many of our successes, I was just concerned that some people may feel like it was a reaction to this negative incident, which is still ongoing. And I didn't want to undermine, one, the seriousness with which, you know, we are handling and investigating the allegations, as well as undermine the great work that the men and women in the Eureka Police Department have done over the past several years. But the more I thought about it, you know, I just realized, hey, look, we're not saying we've arrived yet. This report isn't intended to say that. We know we have a lot more work to do, and we're truly invested in creating a culture of accountability and, you know, truly a mindset and culture of continual improvement. And I felt that the report illustrated just how far that the Eureka Police Department truly has come over the last several years and demonstrates where we're decidedly heading as an organization. You know, I feel well on its way towards positive transformational change. But things like this texting scandal are deeply discouraging and disappointing because for those of us here, we know it doesn't represent the department as a whole or the vast majority of the men and women who serve here. You know, but these kind of things can really undermine that public trust and cause people rightfully to question what kind of culture is taking place, you know, within these policing organizations. And I think there's great opportunity in the midst of this, what I'll call a crisis that we're undergoing right now, because I believe we're going to be able to demonstrate to the community just how committed we are to accountability and doing the right thing and continuing this positive transformative change. And so, you know, that's what we're committed to. And for those that may be following, I just continue watching. There'll be some things that we can't share because the law with police confidentiality records may prohibit that, but the end result, we're going to do the right thing. We're going to make this right.
How many officers on leave now because of the texting scandal?
I have a total of 3 that are on leave right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. And any idea when there might be some resolution, either disposition within the department or something else?
Well, and I think it's important to note that at my request, the city contracted with a third-party independent outside investigator and a law firm to oversee this entire investigation. The city has a contract with them, and basically they've got full discretion to investigate this as they see fit. And we want to make sure that they take as deep of a dive as they need to identify, you know, any other potential latent problems beyond this small group so far that we're aware of. And in fact, the vast majority of those texts involved just a sergeant and an officer in there, but there were other members on the various watches the sergeant led, you know, that may have been in these text strings. And so we're looking at all of that and any other directions that the investigation needs to go to make sure that, you know, we correct any latent issues that may still exist in the department despite the progress that we made. And so there's not a timeline. I mean, that's up to them. They know that we are asking them to complete the investigation as soon as they responsibly can, being completely thorough, fair, and objective, because we can't afford not to get it right. So, you know, maybe another 2-3 months. That's just a ballpark figure there. They're well into the investigation now.
All right. So, but what has it been like, though, to try to convey the message in the report on 21st century policing to the community while this is going on?
You know, again, I was a little bit apprehensive about that for the reasons that we discussed, but I felt, you know, it is what it is. We want to be as transparent as possible. I think the community, you know, our community here in Humboldt County that actually knows the department, we have a great deal of support even through the midst of this texting scandal. Where people have seen, you know, every day what the men and women of the EPD are out there doing on behalf of their community, the sacrifices they make, the good work that they do, the close relationships that they've built, particularly with the homeless community, by the way. And and our service providers and stakeholders for them, which is kind of counter to some of the allegations that, you know, were put forth in the text, some of the things that were said between those two. But what we actually do every day on the street, the relationships we established have kind of really shown through. And so we still continue to have quite a bit of support locally. I didn't really get any pushback on the report. I've received some positive feedback. But I think, again, we were very clear that we're not saying that we've arrived. We know we have more work to do, and this texting scandal seems kind of illustrates that we still have more work to do, and we're committed to it.
Steve Watson is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the chief of the Eureka Police Department, and we are talking, on two things, really, because one is the report of the Committee on 21st Century Policing released last month at about the time that a texting scandal blew up, as reported by the Sacramento Bee, and the reference there to the homeless community. There were some unsavory references to homeless people in some of those texts, as reported. You can join this conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So two pillar one of 21st century policing, building trust and legitimacy. I mean, one of the major issues is transparency. So other than what you're saying here today about what's happened in this specific case, what other moves have been made to make sure that the public knows more about what EPD is doing?
Well, we were early adopters of body-worn cameras since 2016, in fact. Just recently, a couple months ago, we bought 42 new, brand-new, state-of-the-art cameras with improved capabilities. We have enough for every officer to have a camera when they're out in the field. And so that's just one way, and that's been a tremendous tool. There are a number of transparency measures that have passed, like Senate Bill 1421 in California last year, that has begun to open up the veil typically that has been present with privacy rights for public employees in California, and in particular public safety, over the years, where the vast majority of internal investigations are not publicly disclosable. SB 1421 allows us and actually requires us to release our investigations in their entirety to the public in certain specific cases of great public interest, such as any officer-involved shooting as a person, any significant use of force resulting in great bodily injury, like, let's say, broken bones, any sexual misconduct or assault by an officer, and any instances of dishonesty, again, that were sustained on those last two. And so we've already released a number of reports that comply with that. You know, we have a transparency portal on our website. You go to the Eureka Police Department website. There's a prominent link right there. You open that up. You can read our entire policy manual and other topics of community interest about department operations, including this report here. And so that's available for the public, very easy to see. We have information about officer-involved shootings, including the entire investigations up there, a recent dishonesty case from a couple years ago from a former officer. You can read our investigation and the outcome there, and there's just a lot of information that's available. And again, as long as we're complying with the law, we really endeavor to be as transparent and open as possible.
There's one category I want to ask about in particular, and honestly, the phrase gets a little confusing when you first look at it, but it says stop data collection. It doesn't mean end data collection. It means you're actually providing information about police stops.
Yeah, and that is through a new law that's been passed. We're in a pilot program with that right now, several months ahead of when it's required by law. So we're actually assisting the Department of Justice in that process. And it's going to be a comprehensive capture of data related to all police stops of citizens. That could be a traffic stop, that could be a field interview, the list goes on and on. And it captures a lot of demographic data, the reason for the stop, the race, sex, or gender of the person stopped, and the list goes on and on. All of that is being captured and reported, and then will be available to the public. Not the individual's, you know, member's names, because that'd be a privacy violation, but the data about the kind of police context that we're having. And so all agencies are going to be required to provide that data, but the Eureka Police Department volunteered early on to be part of the pilot program to help get this up and running for the rest of the state.
And then I'm also looking at the map for the citizen rims. Explain what it is we're looking at here, because there's points all over this map that show some kind of police activity.
Yeah, so we adopted a new records management system, a computer-aided dispatch system called RIMS, R-I-M-S, a couple years ago now. I think we went live in November of 2017. And there's a function, and again, you can go to our website, hit the link for Citizen RIMS, where we provide readily available information to the public. You can click on crime heat maps, type of incidences, things like that. There's a function where you can add certain arrest logs and, again, other information that's not prohibited by law with sharing. So it's just another way to be transparent, another way for the public to be more aware of and engaged in the operations of the Eureka Police Department.
It's interesting. I'm clicking around here in decent exposure, barking dog, malicious mischief report, burglary report. I mean, unknown problem. Does a lot of stuff end up in that category?
Yeah, and a lot of times what you'll see there is how a call was initially recorded or logged, because you don't know. Later on, the calls may develop, you know, something that's a disturbance could turn into a domestic violence incident, for example. And so it may show up initially as something else, like a disturbance, that the end result is more complicated than that.
Steve Watson is the Eureka Police Chief, talking to us about 21st Century Policing. A recent report issued by him is called Report to the Community on 21st Century Policing. You can join us as we explore some of the ways in which EPD has changed in recent years. 800-838-3760, our phone number, our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. The Use of Force Review Board, is that something that predates 21st Century Policing, or is that one of the components?
We've had a use of force review board and then not had a use of force review board. I brought it back a year or two ago. I just felt that it was just another layer of accountability, another layer of review to make sure that we are getting these kind of situations right. And so it's now part of our policy manual. And in fact, we have a citizens advisory board. It's now one of the city's regular boards and commissions. They're an advisory board to the police department and the chief of police. And the use of force review board has a provision that allows up to two members of the citizens advisory board to be part of that use of force review board. So these are citizens in the community that ultimately the mayor brings before the rest of council for confirmation. So the mayor and council will ultimately decide who is on that board. Not the use of force board, but the CAB.
Okay, got it. So I wanted to ask too about de-escalation training, because that's obviously one of the major issues in policing of our time, I would think. And I want to ask how extensive that is and how much more perhaps it has gotten.
Absolutely. That is crucial training. And now California, as one of the progressive leaders in law enforcement across the nation, has legislated that all officers have to receive de-escalation training. In fact, de-escalation has to be made part of our use of force policies. So EPD has done all of that early on. We are training our entire department on an ongoing basis in de-escalation. We chose to go with a nationally recognized program from the Police Executive Research Forum, or PERF. It's called Integrating Communications Assessment and Tactics, or ICAT. It's a dynamic program. We actually obtained a grant to bring that instruction to all law enforcement agencies in Humboldt County that wanted to participate. It had a train-the-trainer component. So we now have trained certified staff members that teach de-escalation, not only at EPD, but at other agencies within our county. And de-escalation is very closely aligned also with CIT, if you're familiar with that, crisis intervention team training.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like getting people on the streets who are or have some more mental health training, some more capability there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And in fact, there was a recent video, very controversial, from an agency south of us in another county where officers encountered a very large naked man that in some kind of mental health and or drug-induced crisis and psychosis. It ended up being a very significant use of force that looked very ugly with a lot of officers involved. We had a almost identical incident occur a few weeks later, and there's actually video on this in a report by a local news agency where officers were able to de-escalate the situation and use virtually no force, using some special training and tactics that they received. And so it was a stark contrast, but can show how successful these kind of tactics can be.
How much do you bring the general public in? I mean, I noticed there's a Eureka Volunteer Patrol, but what other opportunities are there for people to feel like they have a say in the way that things are run at Eureka Police?
Well, we love our volunteers. And I maintain an open office every Monday morning. I have hours that are open for any member of the community that wants to come in and sit down with me on any topic under the sun. During our monthly staff meetings, we typically invite a member of the community. It could be just a resident, business owner, a member of the faith-based community, a representative from the NAACP. The list goes on and on. In the first 15 minutes of the staff meeting, the floor is theirs with our entire supervisory team present. Is an opportunity to get to know each other, to hear how they view their police department in the community, any issues, hey, what are we doing good, what do they feel that we need to work on, and really it's their time. The only thing I ever ask is at the end of the day it be constructive. And so we're also very, very active in our community. Obviously this last year for everyone with the pandemic's made face-to-face meetings a little more challenging, but we're constantly out there, we're constantly engaging with the community. Monthly coffee with the captains, parades, community events, and the list goes on and on. And then we have a robust volunteer program with numerous ways you can serve your community and the department as a volunteer with Eureka Police Department. You touched on one with our Eureka Volunteer Patrol. We have an abandoned vehicle abatement team. It's all volunteer. We have a graffiti abatement team, the great team. Again, staffed entirely by volunteers. We have office staff, volunteers that help with that. We've had over 20 volunteers at the time.
Just quickly, because we only have about 30 seconds left, what's been the trend in staffing in recent years? Are you losing any people because of the implementation of 21st century policing?
No, not because of that. And I think most officers are really starting to embrace it, and they understand that's our community's expectations today. They get it. But staffing, recruiting, and retention has been a major challenge for law enforcement nationwide. In this last year, it's only gotten exponentially worse. So we have a lot of open positions right now. It's still a great profession, a calling, a chance to make a difference. Come join us.
All right. Report to the Committee on 21st Century Policing, available online along with a lot of other stuff. Eureka Police Chief Steve Watson, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.